feels like I should wear glasses, though. I always was disappointed growing up, because it feels like it just fit the pattern that I would be wearing glasses.
It's such a ridiculous thing to say.
For Christmas, the kids got gift cards to Target, so Shelby's like, can I go look at clothes? I'm like, sure. So we go to the clothes section, she's looking around, and she goes to the accessories, where like the headbands and all that are.
Yeah.
She bought herself a pair of fake glasses. They're just fashion glasses. They are not sunglasses. They're like clear lens. And she wears them. She loves them.
Yeah.
Not
to tell us about your 5-year-old daughter, but I'm not too pretentious enough to wear fake glasses. But it does feel like I should be wearing glasses.
I get that. Yeah.
Yes. Interesting.
And also, it'd be nice to have a facial accessory. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. And with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello.
Oh, and we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning.
Yeah, we are.
I forgot to include our little tagline.
Venturing into the wilderness.
Yes.
Exploring uncharted waters. Canoeing, if you will, where no one has canoed before.
The mountains.
Perhaps. Who knows? Who knows what lies ahead?
That's a book we're reading as a staff. So, some references that no one will get.
Take it off
They're
the
funnier
map.
That way.
They're funny. Yeah. Everybody loves that.
Everybody loves inside jokes that they're not on the inside of.
We have a special treat for you guys today. We're actually doing a kind of a two-part podcast.
Ooh.
So first we're going to look at kind of this recent scandal with
Ooh.
Aunt Becky from Full House.
And yes, Felicity Aunt Huffman. Becky.
Dun, dun,
yes,
dun.
And not necessarily directly at that, but kind of like what do parents can take away from this experience and how can they model their parenting. And we have an interview today. I sat down with one of our high school youth. He's a high school senior. And he is president of his school's Best Buddy program, which is a program that seeks to create friendships between students and those with special needs.
Awesome.
And he's actively engaged in starting new Best Buddy programs at other schools. He's a pretty neat kid.
Very cool.
Awesome. Yes.
He was an intern here at church, too, so we're pretty fond of him.
He's a favorite. We're not supposed to have favorites, but he's, you know, one of many, many favorites.
Yeah. So if you're a kid listening, Pastor David told you, not our favorite.
One of many.
Yes. All right. But before we get there.
Yeah. What do we got?
Let's take a look at some news.
Ooh.
Okay.
Thanks for that.
Do you like cheese?
I do like cheese.
Oh my gosh, are we throwing it?
No.
We've
already thrown it at babies.
We've already thrown cheese at babies. Now we have some new cheese news.
Moving on to a new thing.
Yes, maybe we need a special song for cheese news.
Cheese, it's good.
Okay. Do you have a favorite kind of cheese?
Ooh, favorite kind of cheese. Like, am I just eating it on its own or like on something?
I'm
totally into Gouda right now.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Gouda fan, but that's fine.
So good.
Yeah. I don't like stinky cheeses, but I like slightly more exotic things. So like cheeses with things in them or baked brie's and things like that.
Have you had
really tasty.
The cheese that has the blueberries in it?
No, but that sounds delightful.
H-E-B.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It's yummy.
I'm a Havarti guy. Mm. I think that one's the best cheese.
Ooh, really good Parmesan. Like I could eat that like by the block. Good.
With your croutons?
Well,
with my croutons.
Here's a way to make your cheese taste better.
All right.
This Swiss experiment has found that cheese exposed
to... Wait. Swiss like the country or
the
Swiss
country,
like cheese factory
the
producers?
Country
okay.
Switzerland.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
That's not even
Switzerland,
a
Switzerland. Yes. Switzerland. They have found cheese exposed to hip hop tastes better.
Oh, all right.
That's interesting.
So they did an experiment. They exposed cheese to 9 different kinds of music. classical music.
Sure.
Led Zeppelin. techno. And then different frequencies. And a tribe called Quest.
A tribe called Quest?
Yeah, it's a hip-hop band.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I didn't know they were called a tribe. I'm unfamiliar.
A tribe called Quest.
Okay.
And they have found that the cheese that was supposed to hip-hop had the most unique flavor profile. Oh, so there you go.
Did anyone explore the possibility that the cheeses just had originally distinct flavor profiles?
These were all the same kinds of cheese.
But any like truly artisan-crafted cheese, every batch will have a slightly...
Yeah. Well, clearly you know more than the Swiss experiment.
I think that was, yeah. That's how I go through life, is assuming
Anthony,
that I know more than Swiss
than
experiments.
Anthony Weiss, who's a world cheese champion.
I think it would actually be Weiss if it's Swiss.
You know. I don't assume I know more than how his name is pronounced.
I'm pretty confident in that one.
Uh-huh.
All right, so cheese exposed to
hip-hop.
Yeah, so if you want to make your cheese taste really great. I'll play some hip-hop for them. I have some hip-hop cheese puns for you.
Oh, no, go.
So you can let them listen to Cardi B.
Nice.
Aww.
Excellent.
Swissy Elliott. Cheesy E.
Okay,
Havar T-Pain.
That's awesome.
Mars Capone, Thugs and Harmony. There you go.
You came up with those on your own?
Yeah.
I love it.
When I found this article, I was Googling like kinds of cheese and famous rappers and seeing how I could make them line up. So
there you go.
You are so creative.
So I should be like blasting hip hop into my refrigerator to make my cheese taste better.
Yeah, you probably should.
Does this work?
I don't know if it will work on other foods.
Does this work on slices of American cheese? Like, will that work?
It's got to probably be more like an American band.
But, yeah. Would it have, like, negative impacts on other... Like, hip-hop's great for cheese, but terrible for all your vegetables or something?
Maybe.
A different speaker in every... This is going to be the new refrigerator that comes out.
Yes, your smart fridge.
This new smart fridge is going to have a different speaker that plays different music for all of your foods to taste their optimal flavor profiles.
There you go. So let's look at some real things.
Oh, real stuff. Okay. Yes.
Are you familiar with this new news article about kind of Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, and other parents being busted for kind of scamming the system to get their kids into college?
Is this where we cue the Bad Boys theme song? What you gonna do? What you gonna... Anyway, I don't know.
Is that... That's kind of hip-hop, so you can...
So you can listen to that while you're eating cheese.
Cheese in the car, we got you covered. Yes. All right. So this is a new story. Parents basically scamming the system to get their kids in college. This would be paying like a SAT proctor to fudge the numbers on your kids.
Yeah.
Lying on applications to universities.
Sure.
Kind of using...
People have been doing that for years.
Using wealth and influence to kind of... cheat the system a little bit.
I heard it even went so far as like some kids getting scholarships for sports they didn't know how to play.
Some of it was like photoshopping your kid into photos of sports. Yeah. Yes. And a lot of these things typically are, it seems like from what I'm reading, done from parents, not from the kid's perspective.
Right.
That it's done from the parent perspective. And some of these parents need to realize, look, there's an old-fashioned way to do that. And that's you just write the university a giant check for the new library.
The good old days.
And just get your kid in there.
That's right. Yes. I don't need my name on any building. I just need my kid to be entered into your university.
Yeah. That's crazy.
If you can pay a couple hundred thousand to somebody else to create a forged document of your child on a sports team they don't play, then you can give a couple hundred thousand to build a building.
Right. Yes.
Do you know who Richard Dreyfuss is?
I do know who Richard Dreyfuss is.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Uh-huh. Yes. And Jaws. Yes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
His son tweeted out something that was pretty funny that I saw, and that was, I got into college the old-fashioned way. By letting my father's celebrity speak for itself. Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's solid. Yeah.
So I read this long article recently on the New York Times that kind of addresses this, but it's more addressing it from not just a college perspective, but how you're doing as a parent. And it's called How Parents Are Robbing Their Children of Adulthood. And they are coining this term called a snowplow parent.
All right. So this is like, we've had helicopter parents.
We've had helicopter parents.
And
let's define helicopter parents.
Oh, sure. So helicopter parents.
Hover.
Yeah. You're there every step with your child, making sure they have everything they need. Everything's...
Oh, don't fall. You're going to skin your knee.
Yeah. Usually, parents' anxiety means I need to make sure my kid is covered in bubble wrap and I'm there.
Right.
Because I can't have my kid exposed. So snowplow parent would be an analogy like the snowplow is going ahead of the child, clearing the path of all obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Do we need to define snowplows for our Texas listeners? Are you all familiar with these? Is this a foreign concept? Or?
We have context clues. That
you can put it together. Okay, good.
I've seen them on movies.
Yeah. I feel like there should be a Texas version of a snowplow parent. I don't know what it would be.
A bulldozer parent?
Could be a bulldozer parent. That's not bad.
Okay. Yeah. A lawnmower parent?
Ooh, I feel like that already exists. Isn't that a thing?
A lawnmower parent?
Yeah.
What is that?
I thought maybe I made it up. Maybe
like parent who like makes a kid mow the lawn?
Yeah.
Done!
That was my dad. That's it. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's this idea of so you're going to do whatever it takes to clear the way, path of obstacles, rejection, and hardship for your child so that they can succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you... Have you seen this from parents or heard this in stories of like parents doing these types of things?
Yeah, I have. So my sister has been working on getting her PhD to become a college professor. And she has had, when she was a TA at a previous university, she's had parents reach out on behalf of students.
Yeah.
Based on like a, she'd give a grade back. Mm-hmm. And the parent of that student would reach out to ask what the grade was or like what was going on with the grade.
Yeah.
And my sister at this point is like, your child's in college. Like,
right.
This is...
Yeah.
Their responsibility to contact me if mm-hmm. they have a concern about this.
And, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a thing that she's had to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard parents of like coming to, from some of my friends said, coming to job interviews with their child.
Wow. I would be so embarrassed.
And like sitting in on them and like speaking up for their kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I cannot.
Me neither.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd like, be such a weird experience.
Yeah, imagine if I had showed up here at Lord of Life and didn't bring my wife along. But brought my parents.
Yeah.
And they, like, answered the questions for me.
Yeah.
They're like...
Are they asking like, questions on your behalf?
Right.
The church?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, while I'm, like, preaching on a Sunday morning, my mom's, like, standing there, like, holding
right.
my shoulder, like, you're doing great,
you're
honey.
Doing
like,
good. Keep going.
Just whispering into my ear, like, you're doing great. Keep it up. And I'm like, okay. And like, that, yeah. I cannot physically
right.
imagine doing mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds crazy to me. Yeah, so the article starts with the story of, like, a mom who his son wants to do, like, musical theater, and that they started when they were three, and she was driving him everywhere to get musical theater lessons.
Okay.
And they started, like, a charity, and then the moms, I think this is kind of funny, it said, like, did we ask sponsors for them? Yes. Did we ask for money for them? Yes. But they did the work. But that seems like the work of the charity.
They started a charity to fund their child going to these...
I think it was starting a charity to get, like, you have on your resume, I started a charity.
So it's a legit charity.
Yes.
Oh, that the parents
legitimate.
But the parents started
right.
under their children's names. So and they're even admitting, like, yeah, we did the work,
yeah.
but they did it.
Yeah.
But did they?
So now their kids yes. can say, I started
a charity.
Yeah.
Look at all this philanthropy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think the stars.
Philanthropy.
Well,
yeah. I'm
is
kidding.
It really?
No,
no it's not.
Right. It's just too easy sometimes.
This definitely helped. This definitely snowplow parenting at Tusker. Can start a little early. So, have you guys had to deal with like getting your kid registered for a preschool?
Yes.
Yeah, but my kid can't do that on their own.
Yeah, well, okay, but...
walk
know,
in there, write your name,
yes,
two-year-old.
My wife is on the verge of giving birth at time of recording.
Yeah.
By the time this is released, who knows?
Who knows? Yes. Anybody's game.
Yeah. But we
Baby Naz could already be in the world.
We did go and have to, you know, obviously set up a preschool, childcare,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Months ago. But we were talking to some people that they said their preschools, their childcare, they had to sign up for... before getting pregnant.
Yeah. When I was in
yeah.
when I was in South Carolina, before I came here, there was kind of a child care shortage in the area.
Mm.
And so to get into like one of what they would have called like the...
prestige
school. Not even prestige, like just like baseline
yes.
quality schools where you know you could feel confident
right.
that your child is going
yeah.
to be safe and cared for. For most of them, we would have had to register and get on their wait list, not only before we were pregnant, but before we knew that we were moving to South Carolina. Like, it would have been 2 years of a wait list to get an infant in
oh
to
my
be
goodness.
Cared for.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the process of making
yeah.
sure. And that's not just necessarily for the child's sake. It's probably somewhat for the parent's sake of doing those things.
Yeah.
But that's this idea of, like, my kid needs to go to the best child care, so we need to get them signed up before that child even exists.
Yeah.
You know, that's I think, a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this also comes from, like, maybe, like, your kid leaves homework at home, and the school or the kid calls you and says, Mom,
mm-hmm.
I left my homework at home.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in that situation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I think sometimes... part of growing up may be saying, well, that's a mistake you'll never make again.
Yep.
And
or it's a mistake you'll make next week if you were me as a child. But,
sure,
you know, yeah.
Sure.
That's
but I don't think the parent solving that problem
right.
will equal
right.
that mistake will not get made again.
Right.
And
right.
I'm not saying, like, if a kid faces the consequences that they will learn necessarily from those mistakes. Sometimes
yeah.
it takes a while.
Yeah.
But I
mm-hmm.
definitely would say
mm-hmm.
the parent taking on the consequence does not make a kid learn.
Right.
Well, and I think, you know, I want to be careful that we don't just sound super judgy of parents that we don't know and that we haven't
sure.
talked to. But, you know, I would like to think that the parent's instinct is good, mm-hmm. right? The instinct, I think this is coming from, is protection yeah. and care for a child, perhaps harbored out of a feeling of I was not protected and mm-hmm. cared for as I should mm-hmm. have been when yeah. I was a kid, you know,
for sure.
as we've talked about generational differences on this before.
Sure.
So I think there's good instinct there, but, you know, if we think of this as a pendulum swing too, I think perhaps our pendulum swinging past a base resting point mm-hmm. and going too far into this idea of, I can't let my child encounter any obstacle.
Yeah.
I need to remove every barrier so that they can do whatever they want
sure.
to be. Mm-hmm. Because it is an important lesson. And, you know, I think that's the fine line because when they're, you know, when they're in first grade and they forget their school project, maybe it is okay to take that project in and make sure that they have it and that you have the mm-hmm. conversation about learning the lesson. When they're in high school, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
maybe that's a different right. scenario at that
sure.
point. And how do you, as a parent, continue to shift and adjust mm-hmm. your parenting based on your child's needs. And every kid's going to be different,
right.
too. So like we can't even pretend to speak in
right.
a universal that'll say that.
Yeah.
You know, Katie, you have...
Because the way I do...
you have siblings.
Right.
Yeah. Not you.
I do have siblings,
right.
but I also have two children.
Right, that's what... Your children
so, yes.
are siblings.
Yes, and they, I mean, every child is different. You discipline mm-hmm. children differently.
Sure.
You help children differently. One of my children has this need. The other one does not. You know, I
yeah.
mean, it just, you have to know your kids.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
And that's hard work, and it's exhausting mm-hmm. to do that kind of work. But, and so I think sometimes it's easier to just say, well, I'm just going to do this myself. You know, I get into this in my own work here at the church
mm-hmm.
all the time, right? It's way easier for me to just do things than it is to like empower other people to do that
yeah.
thing because they're going to run into obstacles and they're not going to do it the way that I want them to do it. And they're, you know, maybe it's not going to look the way I would like it to look
sure.
at the end. But if I'm the only one doing it, then if I'm ever
yeah.
gone or I'm not here, then that's mm-hmm. it's just not going to happen.
Sure.
No one is
yes.
empowered to do it. And
yeah.
the same thing then happens with our kids, right? If we're the ones who are taking on all of their challenges and removing all of their obstacles, then ultimately, I think this is the point of the article, ultimately they don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
get into a situation where the parent is not able to be there and
mm-hmm.
they literally cannot function to get themselves out of that scenario.
Yeah, I think all these things are kind of this thing. Something you said earlier that I think... that I really resonated with is like knowing your kid and trying to prepare that kid
right.
for this world. And I think because sometimes a lot of this comes not necessarily from knowing your kid and wanting to prepare them, but it's knowing themselves and saying, I want my kid
yes.
to be
yeah.
a success because that says a lot about me as a parent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like this, I know we've talked about millennials in the past, but you know, a big criticism of millennial kids was like they all got trophies. But when you're 8 years old, that kid's not going to the coach. Like, I want trophies too.
Right.
They're not calling up
right.
The trophy maker company and ordering trophies for
right.
everyone.
Right.
Those were baby boomer parents
yep.
who did not want their kid to go home without a trophy.
Yeah.
Who did not want their kid to face, like, they lost a baseball game and did not get rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And, or did not get the acclaim that somebody else did. So I don't think that was, again, the participation ribbon did not come from the seven-year-old.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to, I mean, there's a whole other level of this as far as, like, keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you think about just wanting your kid to go mm-hmm. to the most prestigious preschool or the most prestigious private school or whatever, and that wait time that you have to take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because not only... you know, you think that it may be the best thing for your child, but my next door neighbor's kid's going there, or my
mm-hmm.
best friend's kid's going there, so I've got to get my kid in too. And I mean, so there's several layers, I think,
yeah.
to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and if you remove every barrier, I mean, this is going to, in theory, ingratiate your child to you. I mean,
sure.
mm-hmm.
yeah. and so perhaps the theory of my child have a better relationship with me if
yeah.
I'm
right.
protecting them and watching it. And again, like, you know, we as the adults in the scenario have to approach it not out of our own self-interest,
mm-hmm.
But out of an interest mm-hmm. for what is best for the long-term health of the child. So, you know, even with a three-year-old, right? If I see my three-year-old arguing with another child,
right?
You know, my instinct is to run in
mm-hmm.
and stop that and
mm-hmm.
defend
yeah.
her.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That is not, I think, for my child, the healthy parenting decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, if there's violence or something
sure.
like that, then you know, that's a different thing. But if they're arguing, and even when she, you know, this has happened, when she runs up and, you know, says such and such is happening or so and so, and then I say, go and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Did you tell them?
Empowering the child to take on that task
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So that when I'm not there and that argument breaks out, she can think to herself, I've done this before.
Yeah.
I know
right.
how to, you know, one of the best things that my dad ever did for me was, you know, meet my car breaking down on the side of the road and making me be the one to
mm-hmm.
call AAA. Mm-hmm. Now, he had taken the initiative to get me a AAA membership, which is, you know, certainly removing a number of barriers, right?
Sure.
But so I called my dad and he said, well, what do you call it? I can't come get you. Call AAA. You have this card. You know how to do this. Call AAA. And, you know, making me walk through that process. And so giving me the tools so that I could, you know, tackle the barrier. And, you know, it's those kinds of things that I'm very thankful for that I want to continue to pass on. And it's,
absolutely.
Yeah. But, but it's hard work.
A quote from the article that I really enjoyed said, the point is to prepare the kid for the road instead of preparing the road for the kid. And I think that's a nice way to look at it. Yeah, a nice little word put there too. And so maybe this leads to this idea, I think, maybe more spiritually, is sometimes I think of my own journey or my own life patterns, and I think, man, the defining moments of my life, these things that have shaped who I am, did not come out of ease, comfort, and being protected. They actually came out of pain and suffering and hurt. You know, those things of struggle led to something greater than success in many, many ways in my own life. And so I think sometimes by removing struggle, we're kind of removing sometimes the things that birth success. That probably most people will say, I got to where I am today because of some of that struggle, because of some of that I had to trip and fall and learn how to pick myself back up again. Have you guys familiar with this author named Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah, I know.
He was an author for the New York Times, maybe. The New Yorker.
A paper of record.
I should have had this. But he was author for a writer for The New Yorker, and he's written several books. And one of his books is called David and Goliath. And actually, it's probably my least favorite of his books, but it does kind of explore this idea of, like, not necessarily who in our society has is born with advantage, but, like, what is the advantage? And so he would say, like, for some people, they said, like, by being born dyslexic gave them advantages later in life because of the struggle of how they had to learn how to read.
Sure.
Right.
Or, it takes a lot from the biblical story of David and Goliath. David wasn't just some kid who walked on the field with a bow in or a sling in his hand ready to kill a giant.
Right.
There were things that happened in that story that led him to that place. Things that were, you know, monumental things that were leading to that moment. So it wasn't just it wasn't simply a miraculous moment by God, which I believe it is, but it's also, there's preparation happening.
You're gathering tools along the way.
Yes. And so I think that is kind of what it means for us as Christians, is how are we gathering, how are we equipping our kids for fights that are not yet here?
And how do we even maybe go so far as to put our kids intentionally into situations that we know will challenge them and that we know will cause struggle for them? You know, maybe this is the sports team where you put them in the league up rather than a league down, so that they're not the best one on their team. You know, maybe you push them into situations that they're less comfortable with. You go with your kids to the homeless shelter to serve a meal because your kid probably will be uncomfortable and probably will be a little bit scared, but you know that they're safe, and you know you're not going to put them in an environment where they're not safe. But you give them this experience where they encounter things that are different and strange and weird, so that they learn themselves, I have the tools and the ability to enter into this place and I can still be safe. And you figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah, I think these are all, and I think Katie's a parent of two.
Yeah.
David, you're a parent of one and one on the way.
One and one on the way. We call that one and a half.
Yeah, and I'm a parent of
what? Fractions are hard.
Nine-tenths. You know, we're really right there. So I think we can all, even from our base, acknowledge and admit it. Parenting is really tough. It's like you just show up and, like, here's a baby, and there's no, like, you did an internship to prepare you, or you even took classes to prepare you for this. Like,
no instruction manual.
Yeah.
And most of the quote-unquote instruction manuals are pretty terrible themselves. Right. So.
And not to say there's plenty of books and resources out there for parents, but we're all saying it's hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can acknowledge that. So it's okay. As parents, we've made mistakes and fumbled along the way, and grown from those mistakes. Mm-hmm. But it's also okay for let your kid make mistakes too.
Because
that's the biggest growth is struggle can lead to the greatest things.
Your kid forgetting their homework will not be the end of that child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or your kid, you know, getting in trouble in class, or getting sent home with a note. You know, My mom has been a teacher since I was, well, since before I was born, and then again when I was in second grade. So for all my life growing up, she's been a teacher, recently retired a couple years ago. And, you know, she taught first and second grade, and she had parents come in all the time arguing with her over how their child behaved in her classroom. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my mom's point is like, you're not in the classroom. Like, the,
sure.
You know, I'm glad that you want to support your child, but are you going to take the word of a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old or the word of an adult mm-hmm. who's in the room who mm-hmm. you've entrusted to teach your child?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and so, and this isn't just in the classroom, right? This is across the board, but how do we responsibly talk to people outside of our own family so that we can engage in this conversation mm-hmm. in a healthy way to let our child have struggles and still support them and love them mm-hmm. and move them forward?
Well, there you go.
Did we answer all the questions?
I don't know if we had any questions.
We solved parenting forever, right?
Yeah.
We
did
it? That was
sure.
it?
Yeah, done. So pass this around.
Check.
You're welcome.
Every new parent. There you go.
Add this to the list of resources that you have to read before you can become a parent or listen to. And yeah, you don't read a podcast. We'll print you out a transcript. And you can
right. So we're going to transition now to talking a little bit about our interview. So
yeah.
Like I mentioned at the start of the podcast, Garrett will talk to us about his involvement in Best Buddies mm-hmm. and what that looks like. A neat thing about our youth program is 2 years ago, we went on a mission trip to serve a special needs camp in Washington. And it was an incredible week. I think many of our kids walked away loving that experience. Some of them walked away probably not liking it.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
But they all encountered the challenge.
Yes.
We did not remove the barrier from them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But working with those that are different than you is struggle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, that's a tough place, especially mm-hmm. sometimes in the Christian world, because usually most churches are somewhat divided on areas of economic status or race, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
definitely theological beliefs. So mm-hmm. in church, you don't necessarily encounter those who are a lot different than yourself unless that's intentionally.
Yeah.
So is there a value, you think, of intentionally seeking out those that are different than yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all in agreement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All together now.
Yes. Do you have any experience seeking out or working with those with special needs or developmental disabilities?
I was a teacher, so I had several of those kids. I mean, I was music teacher, so I had all kids, and the entire building would come to me. So kids who had discipline problems, kids who, you know, had mental challenges. I mean, all of that. I worked with them. And not only that, also, they were in a group setting with mm-hmm. kids who were not like them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to include everybody and build community within that. So, yes, and there were some there were some times that children had challenges.
Sure.
Trying to include, or and then of course you had the kids who were naturally good at it.
Right.
You know, they were just like, "Come on!"
Yeah.
You know, and then you had kids that, you know, you kind of had to, no, this is what we're doing. And
yeah, but there's value there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
And you know, so when I was a camp counselor, my first summer, the last week, I had a young man whose first name was Brent, and Brent was in his mid-teens, but was in a cabin full of 12 and 13-year-olds. So he was older than everybody else, but because of his mental awareness and things like that, that's the cabin he fit best into. And you know, there were a lot of real challenges for the group that week. I mean, I think the kids struggled with that at times. But for me as an individual and as a leader in that group, I encountered a whole new world of struggles that I was not anticipating before. You know, handling Brent, and he had a variety of kind of mood swings and things like that, where he would really happy one minute and then really angry the next. And having to be able to manage that at the same time as managing, you know, a whole group that's trying to have a relationship and bond. And so, it is incredibly valuable to enter into intentionally those situations. I mean, this is the same thing we've been talking about with snowplowing, right? There is value in us entering into challenging things on our own without other people removing those tasks from us. You know, if my leadership had wanted to, they could have just put someone with Brent for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that could have been their assignment, but they didn't. They put Brent in a cabin with regular people, or with a group of regular campers and one counselor to manage that environment, mm-hmm. because there was benefit in all of us entering into that experience together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've also worked with some special needs kids at camp, and it's really a beautiful experience of like how can the group respond to them, and also how does the kid respond to the group, and and it does make the experience different. You can't necessarily do the same things that you were planning or wanting to do in the exact same way. Right. Things shift and change, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Well, Garrett's going to talk a lot about his experiences of being involved awesome. In Best Buddies, and he's got some neat stories there that I think are pretty powerful of what it's been like for him to work with that community.
Sounds great. Good.
Hi, everybody. This is Patrick, and welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm here with Garrett Tomaszek.
Hi, Patrick.
I say his last name wrong a lot, so we had to do a do-over to get it right. Tomaszek. Yes. Hi, Garrett.
How are you?
Good. And we are talking about kind of Best Buddies program, and Garrett, you are president of the Best Buddies program at College Park?
Yes.
All right, so what are you, a high school senior?
I am.
All right, and tell us real quick for our listeners, what is Best Buddies?
So Best Buddies is a organization dedicated to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, also known as special needs.
Okay.
It's the world's largest organization dedicated to these individuals, helps them with one-to-one friendship, integrated employment, leadership development, and we actually just started a new program, the Living Program.
Okay, what is the Living Program?
So we have all these different programs from high school to college to now being able to start living on their own. And this Living Program helps them to take that next step, to be able to function and live on their own. Because we have a jobs program. So now they are saving up money and they're wanting to live and function in society as a normal person.
Okay.
But there's not really a normal person out there.
So Best Buddies is designed to work with those with intellectual or physical disabilities or special needs program. And kind of how does that work? So how does it work in the high school level? What do you end up doing within your Best Buddies program?
So the high school level program is very unique to any of the other programs that Best Buddies has. It's you're paired up with one individual. So there's a peer buddy, somebody without a disability, with somebody that does have a disability. You hang out with them twice a month, text them back and forth, call them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the officer corps puts on different events each month. Mm-hmm. So they could be different dances. We had a variety show in the fall, and we had a spring one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just different stuff that the chapter puts on as a group event.
Yeah, I know last year I went to your variety show and it was awesome. It was really cool to watch not only, you know, the buddies get up there to perform, but also your other students who are there with them. It was a really neat experience to just kind of be a part of and watch. So congratulations. It was awesome. That was your first year doing that too, right?
Yes, it was. And we actually raised more money than any other chapter had ever done before in Houston.
Wow, that's awesome. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I know one of the events, too, we've also hosted a movie night here at church for the Best Buddies program.
Yeah.
And I think three people showed up.
It was a lot of fun still.
We had a great time. You know, like, it was awesome. So what made you want to get involved in a program like Best Buddies?
So I've never had anybody in my family that has Down syndrome or any special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who do get involved in this program do have a family member, whether that's a brother, uncle, or aunt.
Yeah, like a direct connection.
Mm-hmm, that has somebody with special needs. I didn't have that connection. My best friend at the time introduced me to the program. His sister was an officer, and he said, why don't you come to an event? I was a little hesitant because I'd never hung out or mm-hmm. been around anybody with special needs before. But I did face my fear. I did it, and I fell in love with it instantly. Just walking in that room, these individuals are often degraded from the opportunities in life, but they were just jumping around, having a grand time, and it was inspiring.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And one of the things that we've done as a youth program is a few summers ago, our summer mission trip was actually to a camp in Washington where we got to work kind of in a special needs summer camp. And it sounds not exactly the same, but at least has some similarities to the high school Best Buddies program. We're like, you are a partner. We're partnered with one of the buddies of the camp and kind of doing life together throughout camp. And probably pretty similar to your experience. A lot of our high school students went in a little insecure, unsure of what that experience is going to be like. And you could see over the course of the week, kind of some of those barriers and walls fall down. Do you remember that experience? Because you were there with us too, right? So what could you speak a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, certainly. So what I saw was definitely a ton of hesitation. I mean, that comes from anybody that doesn't have any experience before that. And it's totally normal. I mean, these individuals are obviously different. Mm-hmm. We all are different in some unique way. And that's what's so great that God made us unique. But these individuals are obviously different. And it scares some people. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to get through that and just talk to them. They're just normal human beings mm-hmm. that just want an opportunity in life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really neat seeing our high school students once they got over their initial fears or nervousness. And that's in some ways a mutual fear and nervousness from the buddies as well.
Oh, yes.
Once those things kind of collapsed, it was an amazing week. Just a really beautiful time of like fellowship, of community, of praising Jesus together. One of the highlights of the trip was this big dance party that we did. And even the camp was like, that dance party never happened before. And it was incredible. Just such a neat experience. So, Gary, you are president of your chapter of Best Buddies. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And so I know you've got a lot of programming going on because you've not been at youth group as often this year because a lot of it has to do with Best Buddies experiences. So what are you guys doing?
So actually right now I'm running one of the top chapters in the country.
Okay.
So one of the programs that I had mentioned earlier was the Leadership Development Program. That's our ambassador. So the buddies becoming trained to basically travel around Houston. Then they go to the leadership conference over the summer and then hopefully become global ambassadors, mm-hmm. where they will actually travel the world and just speak about their story, and they learn about self-advocacy and spreading the idea of inclusion. Mm-hmm. I have five. We're actually number one in the entire state, and I believe 10 in the country with the most trained buddy ambassadors. Okay. So it's a huge, big step for our chapter, and it takes a lot of hard work and dedication.
Sure. And I think you mentioned to me earlier, with this comes with your starting new Best Buddies programs in other schools, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes through our connection to you and to our Best Buddies program here in the Woodlands, we actually have other youth starting their own chapters of Best Buddies programming and their own high schools. And so we are proud to say, you know, we have two Best Buddies presidents within our own youth program. And I think a lot of that came, you know, from this desire to look at those in society that sometimes our world or society can say the least of these, and a very intentional way of how can we pursue them. And so I think that's a neat way to sometimes come to these things, is taking the mission of Jesus seriously, of like, Jesus is about those on the outside and those on the fringe, and Best Buddies is a program designed to bring those on the outside of the fringe into community. And I think that's a really beautiful way to kind of experience that calling from God. How have you seen like your life be changed or shaped from being a part of this program?
So when I initially got into it, I was very hesitant, very nervous.
Yeah.
This program has completely transformed my life. I'll be honest with you. I used to be the person that would judge anybody that came before me, whether they had special needs or not. It was just kind of like an instinct. Mm-hmm. But now it's completely transformed my viewpoint in life. Mm-hmm. Any person that comes before me, I take a second look. I don't judge that person anymore. It's, mm-hmm. I let them in. I try to love them and befriend them. It's completely mm-hmm. changed my life, and I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that growth and change in you over knowing you for now 6 years. And not to say, man, Garrett used to be such a jerk. It was, but I see in our youth program and how you approach service, you taking the much more of an initiative of like, how can I be a welcoming individual? And it doesn't come just necessarily naturally to everyone, but it's very intentional. And I definitely have seen that in you. So what would you say to somebody who's like, I'd like to get involved, but I have that same nervousness or fear of those who are different? What are some tips or tricks do you think that can get over some of that same nervousness or fears?
So I honestly would recommend you just talking to a friend, bring them to an event that Best Buddies is hosting, or okay. If your church is putting something on, go to one of those things. You don't have to go alone. The more, the merrier. Mm-hmm. Just know that they are just as nervous as you are, if not more.
Yeah.
Just taking that initial step just to say hello or introduce yourself goes mm-hmm. a long way. Just smiling at them, they love that. They eat that up. Mm-hmm. If I just go by the special education room on like a random day throughout the week, I will hear about how great that, how excited they were mm-hmm. from their teachers. I got to see Garrett today, and they were just so happy about it. I mean, they will eat that up. They love just seeing anybody, mm-hmm. anybody just smiling at them.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So we kind of talked a little bit about how being a part of this program has helped shape your worldview differently. Now, do you see kind of a similar change like in the buddies' worldview, like by being a part of this process or program? How do you think they are changed by being a part of this?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I used to have, there was a buddy, he's a senior now, but when he came into our program, he was considered a mute. It means that they don't talk. He didn't talk to his parents, teachers, friends, doesn't matter. He has Down syndrome, but it was a reflect from his previous school. So he used to go to a school down in Houston his eighth grade year. Kids used to make fun of him. Teachers actually made fun of him. Yeah. It was just bad. His teacher or his parents pulled him out of school and they took him down to College Park. They put him in the Best Buddies program. Within a year, he started talking. Just completely opened that door, opening up that acceptance. His buddy that he was paired up with was the vice president of the chapter at that time. Mm-hmm. And for just about most of the year, they didn't talk, but she didn't care. She just wanted to be there with him. Mm-hmm. And she would go eat with him at lunch. They didn't really talk, but just having that presence there went a long way. And it really showed when she was leaving her last day, she went by to go tell him bye. And he said, "I will miss you." That was the first four words he ever said. Wow. Was "I will miss you." And this program really changes both lives, peer and buddies. It goes a long way.
Wow, that's incredible. I think that idea of and that doesn't come without a very intentional effort.
Yes.
And it would have been very easy, in a new school, a new environment, to feel the same exclusion, the same rejection by peers, even by teachers, by those that are designed to love you, and to just retreat further and further into himself. But having that power of someone will just sit with you, even if there's no communication or perceivable communication going on. And that just goes such a long way to what it means to be a friend. So, Garrett, you're graduating. Mm-hmm. Graduating in a few months now. And for you, since you've been involved in Best Buddies in high school, how do you want this experience to kind of shape your future? And that doesn't necessarily mean one day you'll be working for Best Buddies, but by this experience, how do you want that to shape who you become in the future?
I want to be an accepting person. I want to be somebody that allows other people to come in, not build up a wall and keep and shield people out. I want to bring opportunities to others. Mm-hmm. Once I get further down the road, long ways down the road, if I have my own company, hire individuals with special needs, because there are great incentives for companies nowadays to hire somebody with special needs.
Yeah.
But ultimately be more accepting in life.
Yeah, and I think that's a really beautiful way to look at that, of finding ways and experiences to bring in people, especially those on the outside and fringes that we talked about, and saying, how can we be very intentional there? Because probably, for most companies, they're not thinking intentionally of how can we hire those with special or needs or developmental needs, but by coming into that process or that space and saying, I want to welcome in, even as an employee, into my company or into what I'm doing. I think that's a really neat way to take a look at that. So what other experiences have you had in the Best Buddies program that you think are just kind of unique or neat, or that stories that you just want to share with us?
I would say, so this last fall we had our second variety show.
Okay.
This last one, it wasn't really so much to raise money, because that was the intention for the spring semester. This one was just to really make sure it keeps on going. So this was our second one. It was really I mainly focused on the show aspect, not so much the silent auction. We had a silent auction. It was worth over about $4,000. Still a lot of money. Yeah. But I wasn't too worried about raising money, because we had money from previous years and other donations. But the last event that we had, or last act that we had of the night, was one of our buddies singing "This Is Me." Her name is Gabby, and she sang every note perfectly. It was amazing, and I don't know if you've heard the song. It's from The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. But at the very last bit, where the beat drops and it picks up again, we had balloons that dropped, and it just instantly gave me chills. And it was amazing, because we had all the buddies come out. Everybody that was a part of Best Buddies just come on stage with Gabby, showing that we're in this together, inclusion, and it was a great experience.
Wow, that sounds like a really neat thing just to be a part of and witness. And I bet everybody there could see the value and importance of a moment like that for a young girl to experience. Yeah, I did not get to go to this last year's variety show, but I had gone to the one before, and it was awesome. I mean, it was a really neat. We had stand-up. Mm-hmm. We had a celebrity trivia.
Yeah.
Disney song dancing. It was really a cool experience to kind of watch. And you guys did a great job. You and your team did a really great job with that. So lastly, how do you think that this has affected your faith life by being involved in a program like this?
I honestly think at the beginning it probably brought me a little further away from God just because of my time commitment.
Sure.
But now that I have really gotten a handle of everything and taking my time in church and youth group and church service, I honestly believe it had brought me closer to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, just looking out and accepting and being with these individuals that aren't usually the go-to people to have a friend has definitely brought that relationship with God. Because I feel like this is not so much my reason to be on this earth, but one of the reasons why I was put on this earth, to be more accepting, to bring these individuals to opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful thing. Thinking, you know, God desires every person to have friendship and community. And that's a really neat thing of reaching out to those that are sometimes tough and sometimes outsiders to say, how can we be friends? It's a really powerful way of looking at it, because it's not even saying, how can I serve you or how can I do an activity that benefits you? It's just, how can we do life together? And I think that's a really neat experience or way to kind of picture this service. Man, Garrett, you have been an intern at our youth, at our church too. We've gone as a, in your internship, we've taken our middle school kids to places to work with special needs adults, and we've seen the kind of that same experience for them of like, oh, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. And these kids are like 12 years old, so I get it. You know, like, there are adults in the world who would walk into a place to play bingo with those with special needs and say, I don't know if I can handle this. But seeing like how you have led other students in this process too, and I think that's, you've done a really great job of that. So how do you think you've like helped work and lead other kids in this process?
I honestly don't really think I've led. I think it's just something that like happened naturally. It was just something, this at first when I first got involved, it was something scary, something I didn't really know what I was doing. But now it's become such a natural thing, almost like a reflex, that it just comes naturally. And it when you see somebody go and take the first step forward, it just comes natural to everybody else to take that next step forward and join in.
Sure. Yeah, I think that part of that leadership is doing that modeling. And I think also from what I've seen from you is also being that understanding of like, not everyone has the skill set or the bravery or the experience to just jump right into that program or to working with somebody who's very different than themselves. So I think you've shown a very little understanding of like, how can we move forward and maybe small steps together. And doesn't mean the first time you ever walk into a Best Buddies meeting, or we went to a place that did kind of life lessons for those with special needs, or we did a place that had horseback riding for those with special needs, that you're immediately immersed. But it's okay to say, this time I'm moving a little further, closer to those friendships that I think God values and I think our society sometimes overlooks. Garrett, do you have anything else you'd like to say about Best Buddies or anything we missed?
Best Buddies is just in the business for friendship. I mean, it's something so simple, but it's very powerful. It's something that comes very easy for others, but is a lifelong challenge for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Garrett, I know you'll be leaving us soon for college, and I know whatever the world takes you, whatever that experience is, you know, whether it's business, marketing, wherever you end up, I am confident that you're going to be a person that brings inclusion, acceptance, and community wherever that is. And I think this really beautiful thing, like you said, like friendship, wherever that goes. And Garrett, man, it's been great having you in youth group. And I thank you for coming on our podcast to talk about Best Buddies.
Certainly. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, welcome back from our interview with Garrett Tomaszek and how his experiences with Best Buddies in high school and how that's going to prepare him, whatever career he chooses, of making sure people feel included and the value of intentional friendship. So we have a recommendation.
Yeah, what do we got?
All right, so I will recommend a book that we talked about earlier, David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell. It is a neat experience. Even if I don't think it's as good as some of his other books, I think it's still a really great book. That explores this idea of like not who has advantages, but what are the advantages in life. And sometimes they come from struggle and how we perceive the world more so than the affluence of the families we were grown up in.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond Sunday. As always, you can find us on our website, www.beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Ooh.
And be sure to check us out on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast.
Great. Well, we'll hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week.